Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Please visit us at liveparanormal.com and all of our affiliates. iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, the list goes on and on. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host, and I come to you live every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time from my home of Los Angeles, California. This show is an outreach of a movement of peace and love and kindness and unity that I founded in 2016 on my mom's birthday, the year of her passing, to carry on her teachings, both spiritual and humane. It's about peace, love, kindness, unity, but specifically this show is about ascension, evolvement, inspiration, and love. It's about finding your own ascension, your own vibrational uplift, and how is that adding to your overall spiritual evolvement, and then what are you doing to inspire other people, and how much love are you throwing into the world? In a nutshell, what's your passion, what's your service, and what are you doing to make the world a better place? And my guest today knows about all those things because she is living those things. She is, amongst other things, the social justice pastor at Founders Metropolitan Community Church, the church where I am also pastored as the interfaith pastor. She's a wonderfully talented writer and creative entity and spiritual entity, and it's so wonderful to have her here on the show again. Always, always a good time when my dear friend, Reverend Lucia Chappelle, is in the house. How are you, my friend?
Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you great. It's good to have you here. Welcome back to the show, and how have you been, and what's new in your, they say post-pandemic, but are we really post-pandemic? Because I'm not buying that.
I am not feeling no post-pandemic. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. In fact, I'm concerned. Because I feel like we've seen this movie before. We think, oh, well, you know, it's over now and we can all come back and everything is going to be cool and normal again. And then kaboom, which I don't know if you've heard that that's what's happening right now in Denmark.
No,
they
I haven't heard what's happening in Denmark. Please tell me.
Oh, well, they lifted all restrictions, and now they're having one of the worst spikes ever.
Yeah, I believe that. I think putting kids back in school now without masks is like the dumbest thing that we can do.
I don't know what people are thinking. But see, that it really, it gets to what I'm really feeling now in the spiritual environment, which on the one hand might sound like the opposite of the peace, love, and unity that you open with, because I'm seeing a lot of dissolution and chaos and madness, you know, madness. But I think it's a pool that we have to dive into in order to, you know, like go through the, oh, what is it when you, in the cave, when you go through the water and you come out inside the cave, I think that's kind of where we are.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I talk about this all the time when I teach, that there is a difference spiritually and psychologically, right, Lucia, between moving past something and moving through something. And moving past
exactly.
It can just be like, I see a snake by the side of the road, so I just run away. But then the snake could be waiting farther down the road. Do you know what I mean? And I think
that
we're so sick of...
A bigger snake.
Or the snake has told 20 friends about you. I mean, I think you have to... We have not yet moved through this, and it's going to take years after it's over for us to deal with the psychological and spiritual ramifications of it. But I think we're just doing that human thing, right, that we do where we're like, oh, I'm sick of this, therefore it no longer exists.
Is it a human thing, or is it something about our 21st century first world exceptionalism?
Oh, I'm sure it's that too. But I also think it's a human thing, and I'll tell you why. I think a lot of human beings, and it's taken me a long time to really realize this, I think a lot of human beings really see the world from their own perspective, like they're wearing their own little me cam on their forehead. And I think sometimes, and I think we see this in all different respects, right? Politically, sociologically, spiritually. People sometimes make choices based on what they think is good for them. And they say, oh, this is my worldview, but it really is what's my view? And the truth is, it would be much more convenient for all of us if this was over. But I think for some folks, they think, well, you know, I want this to be over. Therefore, I've decided in my head it's over. And
yeah.
Everything's fine. And, you know, we've seen that for 40 years, right, with the HIV and AIDS epidemic, the last plague. Numbers for HIV often go up.
The ongoing plague.
Right. Numbers for HIV and AIDS often go up exponentially, because at some point people just realize it's not a thing and they go back to their 1970s sexual lifestyle, which, you know, we kind of all wish that could come back. Didn't we all feel free then? Well, not me. I was, you know, 12. But, you know, it's true.
See how you are.
the 70s was... We felt free then, right? We thought drugs were okay. We thought, you know, hungry man with a nutritious meal, and we thought we could have as much sex as we wanted. Well, isn't that nice? But now in the world that it is now, we know those things are not true, and we have to make decisions based accordingly. But some folks don't want to believe that, right? They want to say, it's okay to send my kids back to school without a mask because for whatever reason, the mask hinders them. Right? And I think we're learning. This pandemic is teaching us over and over again that there are bigger things than us. And I think that's one of the lessons in it. What do you think?
I think it is, and I think that's why I think that's why COVID keeps reincarnating. Because we haven't learned the lesson yet.
it's like Jacob Marley kept coming back every night until Scrooge got it. You know what I mean? With more shame, more oppressed spirit.
And just over and over and over again, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
You know, do it, play it again until you get it right.
Yeah.
And it makes it very, very difficult on the rest of us.
Of course. Of course.
You know, it makes it very, very difficult, and impatience runs high.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be that rather than continuing to suppress. Maybe by suppressing our impatience, we're kind of being codependent, you know, and the time has come for a little more tough love. I'm not exactly sure what form that would be, but, well, it's like today. I had a doctor's appointment, and I was riding an Access Paratransit, which is for, you know, disabled people, for heaven's sake. You'd think they would have it together. Well, I had to ask the driver to please put his mask up over his nose. And Sheena, I couldn't just say, please put your mask up over your nose. I had to go like all little girl and meek and, do you really think you could maybe put your mask up, please, sir?
Exactly.
And I don't think that's, yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if that helps anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps anything. Because it's, again, it's placating the unruly child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens when you placate the unruly child in yourself?
Yes.
You get into all sorts of mischief, don't you?
I don't really placate the unruly child in myself that much. Is that a weird thing about me? I think I was sort of born 50. I have never seen much sense in that. I understand sometimes and I'll go, oh, wait, I'm kind of being childish here. But it seems like some people just are defiantly childish about things. And maybe it's because they weren't really allowed to have a childhood. You know what I mean? And I understand and I have empathy for them because of that. But look, I don't like the mask. I'm a claustrophobic person. The mask makes me feel quite unwell. I am also a long COVID survivor, and it's literally kicked my life in the ass in every way. It's physically, emotionally, spiritually. Long COVID is not for wimps.
Mm-hmm.
I wear the mask even when I don't have to, because down here in the beautiful county of Orange, so many believe it isn't necessary. Because I need to set an example for what's the right thing to do for people. Right? That's important.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We all.
In fact, that was
like.
And modeling is important. Modeling is very, very, very important. And modeling in ways that express kindness, but not in a wimpy way. We just can't afford to be, you know, in the midst of chaos. Chaos is not for wimps. You said long COVID is not for wimps. Chaos is not for wimps.
Exactly. Well, long COVID is kind of like chaos in your immune system and your central nervous system. So it is kind of the definition of chaos. But and look how many people have it. But see, I always look for the lesson. And I'll tell you, on this show, in the past when I've talked about looking for the lesson, sometimes people get angry at me and say, how can you say that when so many people have died? And I have nothing but love and empathy for those who have died and those who have lost loved ones. I've lost many friends myself. But there has to be a lesson in everything. And whatever you're looking at, whether it's AIDS or, the Third Reich or Salem, you need to look for what is the lesson in it, right? What is spirit? What is happening? How is spirit reflecting it to us in a way that we can modify our behavior in the future? And I believe in darkness. I believe that not everything is in control of the light, but I do believe you should always find in it a reason to evolve from it. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. The only amendment I would make is that to take care not to be reductionist and look for one lesson, like one
right.
ultimate truth in every tragedy.
You are right. You are right. You are right.
You know, because I think that kind of that can throw us off course.
I agree. But that said, I do believe that one of the lessons of COVID is for us to begin to really function as one human family and to think of ourselves that way. Because look, we're in this situation, right, where all of us could get sick. When somebody gets sick in a family, let's say back in the day of smallpox, somebody in the family got smallpox, and the first concern was, is everybody else going to get smallpox? And you'd be very concerned for the other family members when the pox came to someone's house. Well, now, you know, this plague has come to everyone's house on the earth. So what a better opportunity to think of ourselves as a family that we should all be concerned about each one of our well-being. And I think, and continued empathy, right? I mean, there's a lot of people in our world right now who either have been affected by this illness and are not the same, or who have lost someone to this illness, or have lost something else in their house, like their livelihood or their income or something, because of this illness. So to me, what a wonderful chance for global empathy, and also to think of ourselves all as one. How can I help someone that has been affected by something? What can I do? And I'm really hoping, but I am the cockeyed optimist, right? I'm the Aries that always thinks it's going to be okay, that we'll all learn something from this and become better people because we've all survived this tragedy together. You know, like guys that fight in active combat together, or women that fight in active combat together, have a bond, right? I mean, the men would come back from World War One and have this, like, bromance with the guys that were in their platoon together. Back when men weren't allowed to do that with each other, there was this, like, special loving bond. Well, couldn't we all have that now? Because haven't we all now been through this? We've all survived this active combat against COVID. And maybe we could work towards becoming more empathetic towards each other.
Well, see, herein lies part of the rub, doesn't it? That we have not all been in this combat together. You know? We have we've had an entire segment of society that refuses to believe that there's a battle going on. We're fighting for them, you know, as much as we're fighting for ourselves, because those of us who recognize that it's real recognize that we're all in it together. However, there's enough people that don't recognize the reality, that they're absolutely opposed to the notion of us all being in anything together.
You're absolutely right.
And that's tough.
Yes.
Because we still are all in it together.
Yes.
I thought of another thing while you were talking about, you know, realizing that we're one family. How about one organism?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I like that.
And that can take in everything.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
And isn't it interesting how, so my spirit daughter, my girlfriend's daughter, is taking a college course this semester in It's a philosophy course about Eastern religion. And, you know, she's very interfaith and very much a seeker. So she picked this class because she wanted to learn about religion she didn't know much about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how much that what you just talked about, Lucia, is such a main ingredient in Eastern philosophy. The idea that of the oneness, right, that we are all with the one. We're all
mm-hmm.
one, and we are one with God, and everyone is one. And if something happens to someone, then it also happens to everyone. And I think that is such a beautiful way to think, and such an easy way to think for me, but I think for others, a difficult way to think. You know, the fear that we are all one is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, that's why so much of Christianity has mm-hmm. gone away from that Jesus notion of, I'm here to remind you that we're all one, to a contest. You know, I can be more one than you.
Exactly. I'm the real one, and you're just the partial one.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right. You're the mini one.
Exactly. You're the less important mm-hmm. one, and I'm the very important one.
Yes, yes. Which it just, that's not, that wasn't the idea to begin with. That was
no,
just
you're
not 100% the idea
right.
to begin with.
Yes. Right. But that again is that thing that humans do sometimes, right? Where they make everything about what's a good outcome for them. Making yourself, my mom used
and
to always say
not.
When people were like that, my mom, when people were like that, my mom used to always say, must be nice to be Jesus Christ. And then she'd laugh. But, you know, there are those that think that they are, I mean, there's an entitlement, right? And I think we see it, we can see parts of it in every human being. It's not ethnic. It's not gender specific. Now, there is certainly an entitlement that has come sociologically from a history of certain people being allowed to be the power. And it's worse there. But you see that kind of entitlement, I think, in all different types of people. Just some people think they're a little bit more qualified to be special than everyone else. And I think we even are seeing that with COVID, right? I mean, like I said, if you want to hear who doesn't believe in COVID, let me take this down the street, knock on some neighbors' doors, and they'll talk right to you. I think that part of raising your vibration, part of ascending vibrationally is understanding that you don't know everything and you're not that special. But at the same time, you're wonderfully special, but you're not any more special than anyone else. And I like knowing that, you know, occasionally I get into it with folks on the New Age half of my life, who are this whole, like, there's no higher power. It's all us. We create it. Okay. I mean, hey, if that's your thing and that's your belief, I respect that. I like the idea that somewhere in the universe, there is a consciousness far more evolved than me because I can't even really stay on a diet and that they know more than me and that I can learn from them. In the same way that I am always looking for people who are better chess players than me or who are better writers than me or who are better drivers than me to learn from them. I like the idea that I have room to grow, but I think that terrifies people. And I think that this giant pandemic, right, being so out of our control, I think has been a very fearful thing for a lot of people who think that they know everything. Because if I know everything and I've got it all figured out, how come I can't stop myself from getting COVID? And very ironic, in the way that oftentimes it is people who deny the pandemic that then wind up dying from the pandemic. You know, I won't even talk about the many lessons in that. But, you know, I think that we are also learning through this that being out of control in our world means, hey, guess what? We still have room to grow. We still have lessons to learn as a species.
We actually are not the be-all and end-all.
Right. Of the earth. Yes. Yeah, and I always say that every time a human being...
Hello?
Sorry? Are you there?
I lost you. Are you?
Oh, I said I always say that every time I... Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I always say that every time a human being says humans are the top of the food chain, somewhere an elephant and a whale laugh.
But
and a dolphin probably laughs too, and a raven probably also laughs. But we go around with this idea, right, that we're the stewards of the earth, and we were put here because we're so special. Maybe we were put here to steward the earth because we need the work. Maybe we need to. Do you know what I mean? Maybe we need to do some work and learn a little bit from it, right? Maybe it wasn't like a big grandiose key to the kingdom. Maybe it was like, I've hired you to work on my farm. Now get to work. Take care
Eden
of this earth.
Is the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, right, exactly. Go to work. You get a 45-minute lunch and Christmas day off.
Know.
See ya. But I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think that this is a teaching planet, and we're put here to learn, and we should be learning the whole while we're here. And sometimes, you know, clients will say to me, why is it so hard? Why is it not? When does it ever not be hard? And I want to think, honey, it's a teaching planet. It's never not going to be hard, but it's also wonderful. Just like when you're in school, right? School totally kicks your butt. But at the same time, it's some of the best memories you've ever had. Just because something is work doesn't mean it's not fun. Just because something's work doesn't mean it's terrible. But it still works.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a first world problem, too.
What, worrying that, being upset that life is work?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah. You know? Something else I wanted to come back to that you were saying about people acting in their own self-interest.
Sure.
Part of the problem we're seeing is that people are acting against their self-interest.
Okay. Explain that for my listeners.
Well, the choices that people are making, the, you know, I don't believe in COVID, the every time you have a politician who is wealthier than Solomon and tells you they're for the working person, hello, disconnect, you know,
right,
people
right.
are acting against their self-interest. Why would you campaign against your own health care?
Right. Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Why would you do that? Why would you, and, you know, a gazillion things that we do all the time. We act against our self-interest.
Yeah.
And part of the thing that we're seeing going on in our world now is these Svengalis, you know, convincing people to do these things that are against their self-interest. That's a thing, and people have no protection against it. Their auras are not sealed against it because they don't have that critical. that it, not just critical thinking, but critical spiritual evaluation, critical moral evaluation.
Agreed.
You know, those tools, those are things you can be taught. You know,
you can
be taught those tools and learn how to use those tools so that you can, in fact, make choices that are based on real information.
Yeah.
You can't even sort out what your own real feelings and instincts are when you're surrounded by so much dreck that you don't even know how to sort through. And the people that are shoveling the dreck on top of you are most invested in you not having the tools to analyze what the dreck is.
And I agree with that, 100%. I agree. You know, I used to, before COVID, I used to teach spiritual in Texas twice a year. And every time I was there, whenever I had an open discussion where people could ask questions, somebody always asked me, you know, so here are people that are usually more socially progressive and into alternate spirituality, living in a place that is very different than that overall.
Yeah.
So somebody would always ask me, why do you think that, you know, politically the left and the right can't get along? And I always say, because somewhere, you know, there's a group of people benefiting from us being at each other's throats. And from us thinking that the others are bad, that it's not us, it's them. And I think we see that with the internet, right? All this information comes out, and some people don't want to do the work to think for themselves and think, well, that doesn't really make any sense. You know, it doesn't. I mean, I'll give you a typical example. So when my spirit daughter started taking her philosophy class, was it her philosophy? Maybe it was her critical thinking class this semester. One of the things she was learned about was, oh my God, I can't think of what it's called now. I'll come up with it later. But it was going through and it was all these things. Do you believe in all these things? She had to take a quiz, and you know, one of them. And of course, I believe in most of them, right? Fairies, Bigfoot, I'm in. But one of them was flat Earth. And flat Earth, again, not to dissuade anyone from their own spiritual or sociological beliefs, but flat Earth is something that is very interesting to me, because here we have pictures of the Earth. You can get on a cruise ship and literally travel around the Earth, and you never fall off the edge. But still there are people who believe that flat Earth is a thing because somebody said it was and somebody read it. And doesn't matter how much proof, doesn't matter how many pictures from space, doesn't matter how many people have literally flown around the world and not fallen off the end, or sailed around the world and not fallen off the end, people still believe it because it's there. And so it makes you understand the conspiracy theories. I was in a situation a little while ago with a bunch of people who were supposed to be spiritually advanced guru type people. I know you hear the word guru and you go, ah, a little bit. And one of them said with a complete straight face that she was taking a serum that stopped you from being physiologically susceptible to the things that come off of vaccinated people when you sit next to them. So that's a thing, right? That there are people who really believe that people who have been vaccinated, and I'm not judging vaccination or not, that's your business, and I don't judge people's business, but that sitting next to a vaccinated person, like ions come off of them or something, bad juju comes off, that literally breaks your central nervous system down just by sitting next to them. And these are people with, like, these are people with college degrees. These are people that, you know, are the heads of spiritual churches. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, where can I get that? I was just very quiet, Lucia, thinking to myself, wow, you know, there are these wonderful things. There's the internet. There's science books. There's libraries. There's people you could call and ask about that, that's out there. But somebody came up with it, right? Somebody threw it out on the internet, and people are fearful. And that's a thing to be fearful about, evidently, that if you sit down next to a vaccinated person, their COVID-ness is going to come, their 5G is going to come off them. I don't know how COVID and 5G ever got wrapped up together, but it's a thing. And then,
yeah, that's a thing.
You know, the chip that's inside of them is going to come and jump into your neck, and then you're going to be possessed by Bill Gates or something. I don't know how any of it works, but I do know there are a lot of people who believe in it. And it's very easy for us to say, oh, it's just people in Texas, or it's just people who voted for the last president. But it's not.
Mm-mm.
It's all
Mm-mm.
kinds of people believe in stuff. That is, to me, to live in that much fear is very self-sabotaging, because you're really hurting your own life when you're not allowing yourself to be free emotionally and intellectually and spiritually by being convinced that around every corner something is coming to get you, and it's, the government has created all of it, you know?
I hesitate to label it fear. I tend to label it confusion.
Okay. All right.
Which goes back to the notion of things being in chaos and upheaval.
Okay.
This
okay.
is powerful, powerful confusion. And I mean, when you're talking about this person, the cooties from the vaccinated person are going to jump on them or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, let's unpack that a minute, you know? I mean, if you are in a state of hypnotic confusion, indeed, getting too close to someone who is not confused could be very disruptive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But okay,
you know?
So where do you think, in your belief, sweetheart, where does this hypnotic confusion come from? What is the root of it, do you think? And how come some catch it and some don't?
Well, you know, of course, the flippant first answer off the top of my head for everything is I blame the patriarchy.
Okay.
And there's a lot there, because that's where we get the whole notion of, I mean, when you were talking before about everybody's special, but I'm more special, the notion of specialness itself is that kind of hierarchical, patriarchal framework on reality. And where I'm going with this, I think, I'm making this up as I go along, but where I'm going with this, I think, is this hypnotic confusion, product of the when bifurcation between who we think we are and nature. The civilized beings we think we are and the wild, the chaos, the cosmos, when that becomes like that strong because you really, really think that you're that separated and that unrooted, ungrounded, untethered, part of your brain goes into shock.
Yeah.
Okay. And you become susceptible to what Paul would have called powers and principalities, you know. And you can call it, you can give it political names, or you can give it social names. You can call it religious right. You can, you know, I mean, all sorts of names like that. But powers and principalities, people and systems, institutions, that would have us in bondage.
Yes.
Can use our shocked brains to feed us all that crap.
Well, like I tell the nice people of Texas when I teach, right? Somewhere there is a faction benefiting from everybody being at each other's throats. Because if everybody is hating on everybody, then everybody is being controlled. And it's been, you know, I left this place, this county of Orange, where I grew up the second half of my childhood, because I couldn't handle the political and spiritual oppression here in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I moved in 1991. I moved to the Valley. And now here I am back, right? Because apparently you can go home again and everything old is new again. And I'm sort of facing now in the middle of my life dealing with those same kinds of folks. In some respects, Lucia, those same exact folks.
Yeah.
Having to find a way to feel peaceful about it. Because I do believe that that we can all get along. And I do believe that this place needs me because it has a little work to do, right? People are just kind of, some people are just finding their way here. And trying to get out of sort of the groupthink. And also it's good for me to be around people who are spiritually and socially and politically completely my opposite, to see how much in some ways we're all the same, you know? And I'm sure there are a lot of people right now that would probably shake their head and disagree with what I just said, but you can't just always preach to your own choir, right?
Certainly not.
That's kind of how I feel.
Certainly not. But again, you know, like we were talking way back in the beginning about being careful to not placate. Placating is not
absolutely
teaching.
Right. Absolutely.
That's
not.
Why
yeah.
This is so. What the whole critical race theory thing is so frustrating, because it takes this idea. Oh well, don't upset anybody with what you teach them. Excuse me? What did you ever learn that wasn't upsetting? you know?
Right. Yeah.
Hello?
Exactly.
What?
Yeah.
Learning is a disruptive thing. You know, education is sedition.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Look what happened to Jesus.
Well,
you know,
the fear is, right?
Consciousness raising.
Right, that's a great example. You know, you're right. What happened to Jesus is exactly right. Jesus rocked the boat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we have to do that. We have to rock the boat. And anybody that tells you, oh, please don't rock the boat, you know, the change will happen. That's the white pastors in Birmingham that Martin Luther King was writing to from jail.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Right. But I thought of that, yeah.
Go ahead.
But I thought of that when you talked about don't upset anybody with critical race theory. Teaching the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people don't mm-hmm. know about it, then they're not going to get upset. Well, if it upsets you, there's something wrong. It's the actual history of our country. I mean, it should upset you, because the history of humanity, there are many upsetting things. It should upset you. But if it somehow makes you feel like, you know, the whole idea that if you teach that, then people are going to become racist. Well, that's not. Do you know what I mean? That if you think that, you probably already were.
Right. I was going to say, I don't think anyone's had any trouble being racist thus far.
They know they need help from that. I know about that because, interestingly enough, that's another thing right now that my spirit daughter is being taught in one of her classes. And she just did this whole thing and let me read a paper about it. And that was one of the whole concerns, right, from white Christian men, that if you tell what people will be exposed with and then they'll know it's okay to be a racist. Yeah, I don't think if that's what you take from that, then you have a problem that's way beyond what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, you're already well there. If you think that's going to make it worse, that's absurd. It's absurd,
right.
And it also, it just shows the framework that you're working under.
Right. Right.
You know,
and I think, the pushback against education and knowledge. Because we don't just see that in issues of race. We also see don't educate kids about Columbine because then they'll all want to get a gun and shoot everybody. Okay. So everybody just don't tell anybody about anything that's going on and then everything will just go away on its own, which we've seen from thousands of years of humanity. That's not so much.
That trick has not worked yet. It has not worked yet.
That has not worked yet. But I think there is a fear of that, of knowledge. And I think there is a fear of, but again, I guess that's why Lucia earlier, and I always tend to bring things back to fear. I work a lot in the narcissist recovery community. And I find that people who are very susceptible to narcissists are oftentimes people who carry a lot of fear within them. And narcissists push their fear buttons. And I think that somehow these bigger issues like cooties from the vaccine and all of these things, I think they come from people who are very filled with fear. You know?
And so the narcissism of a certain former president.
Sure. Right? Fear, right?
That's the hook. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Don't you think?
Interesting.
People who fear, right?
Hmm.
What those people are coming for my jobs. Those people are going to get my spots in school. That country is going to come take over our country. These people are devaluing America. These people don't care about me. I mean, it's all this, right?
That's the part I get. But I'm trying to. I'm not quite getting how. How observing someone else's narcissism is hooks you, but gives you some sense of satisfaction around that fear.
Well, I don't know that it's satisfaction. I think it's just sometimes it's just fear. I think sometimes people want their fears to be comforted and placated. They want all the nasty voices in their head to be validated, like, oh, it's not just me. The president said those people are coming too, you know?
Uh-huh,
oh, it's not just
uh-huh.
me. The pastor told me those people are wrong. And it's that fear, you know what I mean, of them, all those people are coming. And everything's going to get bad because those – I heard somebody say the other day, I heard a young person say, why even apply for college? I'll never get in. I'm white. And I thought, isn't that sad that folks are now thinking or being raised to think that others getting equal opportunity means that they're not going to get any opportunity? We're not, so far as I know, we're not banning white people from schools in this country.
No, and any reasonable person, if you look at a college yearbook.
Yes.
Do you not see white people? It seems
yes,
to me you
of course.
See about all white people. You
right.
know?
But not as many white people as you would have seen 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago. And that is
right.
the fear that eventually there will be no more white people in school. Again, it's the,
That's the sports thing too, you know. If you let Jackie Robinson on a white team, soon all teams will be black because obviously they'll be better athletes. The NBA.
Right.
The NBA didn't integrate until, what was it? Golly, it was much later than baseball did. Much later. And it's so weird because on the one hand, you're saying, oh, well, these people are inferior. But on the other hand, you're saying they're obviously superior athletes. It's just, it's odd, isn't it?
It's very strange. But I think a lot of times you see oppressed people, right, ethnically, religiously, financially, gender, oftentimes work a lot harder at what they're doing because you have to get in. You know what I mean? So when you grow up and you're not part of that elite group, you have to work your ass off to get anything, whether it's college or into the Olympics or into a movie or whatever it is. So you see people with a different work ethic. When I was in college, I dated a guy who was kind of this computer star. And then he went off to college, and there were a large Vietnamese population in his school. And he kind of, you know, it was a shock because those kids were working their butts off. But they were also refugees who had lost everything in Vietnam, come here in the 70s, right, with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw their parents have to build up to something from nothing, and they were raised, as all most immigrant kids are, to work their butts off, no matter where you immigrated from.
Mm-hmm.
Usually
mm-hmm.
first-generation kids work like mad. So
you have to survive, yes.
Know, so there is that, you know what I mean? When you see all these folks that are integrating the sports, well, yeah, because you got to struggle to get there. There's no room for complacency. And I think we see that in politics with women, too. I mean, we see it everywhere with women, but women
mm-hmm.
wanting to be equals in sports, women wanting their sports to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just saying to my girlfriend the other day, as we watched the Olympics, I'm kind of an Olympic whore, because I love to watch all the countries together getting along. What is going to happen to the Olympics or to sports in general when more and more people start identifying as non-binary? The
it's
idea
already
of male
being...
and female. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're literally evolving out of a two-gender system. And then in our lifetime, I think, we're going to see more and more changes as that affects our world. And you've got to just go with the flow, right?
That's why there's such a panic around. And notice how all these state laws that are coming up, almost all of them these days are directed at transgender kids.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Not an accident.
Don't change the system.
And it's not.
No.
It's not just because they're vulnerable and it's easier to beat up on little kids. It's looking at the coming generations and trying to put on the brakes.
I agree, 100%. Sweetie, you are wonderful. We are completely out of time.
We just ran out of our time.
Where can people find you online and come back and let's do this again? This was awesome.
Okay. We'll have a lovely time. Well, you can find me at Founders Metropolitan Community Church, Los Angeles. You can get that at foundersmcc.org is the website. And Founders Metropolitan Community Church, Los Angeles, is the Facebook page. You can also find me at the FMCC Wednesday Night Study page. Nice. And by the way, let me please say this, that tomorrow night we're going to have a wonderful guest, Reverend Ken Martin, who is an expert in sexology, is going to be talking about human sexuality and the Bible. Come to the Founders FMCC page, and you'll find out all about it.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. Always an honor to have you here. And ladies and gentlemen, the very wonderful and non-binary humans, the very wonderful Reverend Lucia Chappelle, always a joy to have you on the show, my friend. If you missed those links, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your spiritual needs and psychic needs from me. Sheena Metal is where I am everywhere on social media. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration. I'll see you next time. I love you all. Thank you for being here.